evimiz nerede? Hani adresi boş verin, semti boş verin. Yakın bir gelecekte acaba hangi gezegende yaşıyorsunuz diye mi soracağız birbirimize? Şimdi sıradaki bir filmimiz var önce. Filmimizde evi göreceğiz. Hemen ardından da Hindustan Times Mobile Gazetecilik Şefi Yusuf Omar bizlerle birlikte olacak. Ama öncesinde Yusuf Omar hakkında çok kısa birkaç bilgi vermek istiyorum. Bu hafta Ghosties'de Londra'da Snapchat Sosyal Etki Ödülünü kazandı kendisi. Ayrıca 2016'da yılın mobil gazetecisi olarak tanındı. Önce filmimiz, ardından da gazetecimiz bizle beraber.
Wow, what a beautiful video. Congratulations for that video. My name is Yusuf Omar, and in the program it says I'm going to talk about the dark side of Snapchat. It sounds like something from Star Wars, doesn't it? Actually, it's quite the opposite. I'm going to be talking about Snapchat and social media for social good, how we can improve the world. Just by a show of hands, how many people here have got Snapchat? Wow, the vast, vast majority of you. I'm not actually surprised. If you're between the ages of 15 and 25, there's a very good chance that you're on Snapchat. It was made famous by young people, by our age people sharing nudies. You know what a nudie is? A nudie is naked pictures, because it lasts for 24 hours and then it would disappear. But one of my favorite features of Snapchat is the ability to do face mapping technology. Have you guys seen that before? Let me give you an idea of what it's like. I'm gonna come through here, I'm gonna get to my phone, and if I look into this lens, can you see me? And you map my face. Okay, do it on your face. Let's try it on my lovely wife. And if she holds down her face, we can put a doggy tongue on her. And if she puts her tongue out, all these weird, funny sort of filters, right? What does this have to do with changing the world? Absolutely nothing. But what if we can manipulate this technology and we can use it for social good? That's largely what I'm all about trying to use juvenile, childish apps for a better purpose. I was recently climbing a mountain with a group of sexual abuse survivors in Mysore, which is a town outside of Bangalore. So we had 50 young girls who had been raped, who had been sexually abused, climbing this mountain. And they were doing it as a metaphor to overcome their sexual abuses, both physically and mentally. In India, it's illegal to show the identities of sexual abuse survivors in the mainstream media, because they get totally alienated from society. They got thrown out of their homes and they're not welcome anymore in their communities. So all these broadcast cameras here, what would they have done? They would have probably silhouetted their faces. They would have probably blurred out their faces. But I thought, using technology, surely there has to be a better way to tell these young girls' story. And I used Snapchat to do it. So these are the face maps. And effectively, the young woman got to choose exactly how they would be represented. They held my phone out like a mirror, like a selfie, and they got to choose. This gave them the sense of being empowered, of being part of the narrative. But as somebody that's viewing these pieces as well, it wasn't like we were blurring them out and not showing any details. You still got to see their eyes. You got to see their mouth. You got to see expressions. It helped you as an audience relate to them as a survivor. That's essentially what storytelling is all about getting you to relate to somebody else's story. We're in Punjab, which is a state in India, and we get this crazy statistic that 70% of the youth are on drugs. They're consuming drugs. And we said, well, how do we tell the story? Well, let's go undercover. And let's go undercover and use a platform that they are using. So we did it on Snapchat.
It's pretty scary right now. I've come to Punjab to do a fluff piece on a new film. But the big talking point in this state is drugs. I'm gonna go undercover. This looks way too formal.
Okay, that's probably a better balance.
So we're leaving the hotel now. The time is 11.
And finally, we were covering, I've told you about sexual abuse, I've told you about drugs, and finally, we were covering education. In Delhi, every year, hundreds of thousands of young people like yourselves have to try and get into university. And it's really difficult. They need like 99.9% pass rates, and they still don't get in.
So every year we do the same stories. We go outside and we say, we are coming to you from Delhi University where this and this and this. That's boring. So how do we tell this story differently? So we brought 6 students into our newsroom and we taught them to Snapchat the most stressful 6 weeks of their lives.
6 people.
6 goals.
6 ideas.
6 dreams.
But one objective.
To make their summer the best day of them.
At the end, what we ended up with was the most intimate and personal form of communication, where they were telling us about their sex lives, they were telling us about their parents, they were telling us about trying to get a place in university. All those micro stories that we would never ordinarily come across. For my entire career as a mobile journalist, I thought it was about selfie journalism, where I go out and I'm holding my phone and I'm saying, I'm coming to you from Syria or Turkey or whatever it may be. But now I actually realize that selfie journalism is about equipping other people, empowering them with the skill sets so that they can tell their story. So now this entire conference is about looking forward to 2030. Where do I think that the news of the future is going to be? Smile! Where do I think the news of the future is going to be in 2030? I think everybody is going to be live streaming everything all of the time. Through goggles, through phones, through whatever it is. And us as storytellers will be sitting looking at thousands of screens, looking at millions of people, and trying to work out what is happening at any given time. By virtue of, what, 500-600 people tweeting that Yusuf Omar is giving a talk in Istanbul right now, we can create an algorithm to say, therefore, he must be giving it. It must be true. We're going to have to use technology and check it, tech and check to verify what happens. It's going to be too big a task for people alone to try and work out what's happening with all of these cameras. But at the same time, if we look at Facebook today, Facebook are using algorithms to try and work out what's happening and what's trending, and they're getting it wrong all of the time. They're not deciphering the fact from the fiction. So I think at the end of the day, we're going to need editors, we're going to need human beings that are going to be on the top of these social media platforms, working out what's happening, what's relevant, what's important, and deciphering that news. Since soldiers came back from Vietnam, do you remember the Vietnam War? The old maxim on newspapers and on television was, if it bleeds, it leads. The idea that bad news does very well. People buy newspapers if they have negative news. Increasingly, that idea is changing. Our generation are tired of seeing terrorism and fear-mongering and Donald Trump on our headlines. We want positive stories of aspirations and change. I was recently in Bangalore, and I saw a group of people cleaning the streets. It wasn't an NGO, it wasn't a company, it was just an idea, the ugly Indian. We are all ugly, and it's our own responsibility to clean up the streets. I filmed it. We got 4 million views in the first 4 days.
That guy is urinating on the wall.
Are you an ugly Indian?
All of us here are the ugly Indians.
This place smells like urine. A lot of urine.
This is our problem.
The Ugly Indian is a Facebook group. So I think editors are going to have to sit on the top of Facebook, on the top of Twitter, because today Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, these are the biggest news companies in the entire world. Mark Zuckerberg is effectively the most powerful news editor in the world. So they're going to have to hire editors to make decisions. And I think those decisions are going to have to move away from negative stories and onto positive stories. Not because it's the right thing to do, but because they actually will find more views. Because young people want aspirational stories. Because quite frankly, I think we are all hopeless romantics and we still somehow believe that we can change the world. Thank you so much.